tonight, you'll turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Julie Cox sent me an email the other day asking me to watch a brief documentary film on scientists who now believe in an intelligent design to the universe. Did anybody else get a chance to see that documentary? Did she send that to? It seems to me that there were others in our church family that were on that email. But that particular short film, or that short portion of a film, is to be a full-length documentary film entitled "Expelled: No Intelligence Allowed," that's coming out in theaters, I believe, all over America. In fact, it may be out even now. It's a film put out by Ben Stein. The documentary focuses on how scientists in America, over 300, are being persecuted for even suggesting some kind or any kind of intelligent design to the universe. Even to question Darwinianism in the slightest way could cost scientists their jobs. The point being made by this documentary is the existence of that list of over 300 noted scientists who are willing to stand up and testify that Darwinianism cannot possibly be a valid scientific theory with all of the evidence presented through the latest study of DNA. Yet even with all the evidence to the contrary, scientists are not even allowed to think thoughts. According to Stein, this is his comment, scientists are not even allowed to think thoughts that involve an intelligent creator. Isn't that sad? It's not that these scientists are pushing religion into the scientific equation, but they are daring to suggest that the evidence of their studies reflect intelligent design of the universe. And this evidence, the powers that be will not permit to see the light of day. And this evidence, the powers that be will not permit to see the light of day. Why do you think they won't permit that? Why would they not want that to come to light? It sure does. And it would cause the rewriting of a good many textbooks, wouldn't it? It would also put a lot of folks out of work. But it would also require people to begin to think that there's somebody in this universe that's smarter than they are. And that if there's somebody in this universe that's smarter than they are and greater than they are, then it would behoove them to seek that creator out and to find out more about him. Yes. Yeah. Keeps the check coming in. The beginning of wisdom. Yeah. The knowledge of the Lord, or acknowledging the Lord, it'll come to me. But I know what you're talking about, John. The beginning of wisdom is the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. In Psalm chapter 2, God is talking about both the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's also talking about the time that we're living, I believe that we're living in today. Psalm 2 says, verse 1 says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing. Why do the heathen rage? And you know what a heathen is? In this, according to the scriptures, a heathen is an unbeliever. A person who doesn't believe in God. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, again tonight, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for these that have come this way. We ask your blessing upon your word, Father. We pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to us, Father, use us in a special way tonight. And Lord, as we share from the scriptures, Father, and as we teach tonight, Lord, we would pray that the Holy Spirit would minister to our heart, that as we learn, Father, we would go not just take this information, Father, in your word and hide it in our... Certainly, we want to hide it in our heart that it might be available to us as the Holy Spirit moves us to minister outside the church family. But, Lord, we would ask, too, that we would make every effort to share the good news of Jesus Christ with one who's lost and undone without you. Not to be afraid of the crowd, Father. Scientists, as this documentary points out so clearly, Father, so many scientists who spent literally their lives in research and bent on bringing truth to light, Father, are afraid now to even to mention that somehow you exist, Father, and that there must be an intelligent design to the universe. Father, we would pray. I thank you for those scientists that are willing to stand up and be counted, Father, and say, this is the truth. This is what seems to be the proper outline of the universe, Father, and to give credit to the Creator. Father, we ask your blessing again this evening. Bless, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so the psalmist says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Albert Barnes writes, the psalmist here sees the nations in violent agitation or commotion, as if under high excitement, engaged in accomplishing some purpose or rushing on to secure something or to prevent something. He says, the image of a mob or of a tumultuous, unregulated assemblage is indicated here. I tell you this, you know, a ship without an anchor? You don't want to be on a ship without an anchor, especially a big ship that loses its anchor. I've been aboard a ship when it lost its anchor at sea or off the coast, and I'm telling you, it's a rough thing when you've got heavy waves hitting you and so forth. But a ship without an anchor is out of control. Is it not? Doesn't that seem how it the way it is in our nation today? Just seems like there's no foundational, there's no principles by which we operate anymore today. Anything goes. One politician can suggest this, and my goodness, people just run with it. Especially if it's going to pad somebody's pockets. You know, it just doesn't make any difference about principles. But Albert Barnes says, here is a picture testimony of heathens, unbelievers who are outrageously bitter against God and any suggestion of his rule or reign over them. And again, I think this is a perfect picture of the world today. This is the reason I think that the world is in such turmoil. But yet, this has all been prophesied as well. This is one of the wonderful things about knowing Christ as our personal Savior, is because he's already shared with us exactly what's going to happen in the future. And you and I know that tonight that we're right on track, are we not? We're right on track. So the burden upon the believer is that we testify. We give. Testimony of our relationship with the Lord Jesus and the fact that others can find a relationship with Christ as well. Solomon uses the term vanity when speaking of trying to find happiness, satisfaction, or peace in this world without having some relationship with the Creator of this world. People who refuse to acknowledge the existence of God must find some other answers to what they see in the heavens, they witness in the earth, they witness in life, and even as they witness those that pass from this life into where. You know, there's got to be some answer as to where they're going. Separate from God, any other answer to why we are here or where we came from or where we're going is vanity. It's empty. The psalmist says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Human imagination left to itself will create all kinds of things, will create all kinds of gods, invent all kinds of things, and none of which will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, but will produce wickedness and rebellion against Christ. If you've got your... I'm just going to read two verses from Genesis chapter 6, just before God... brought the flood upon the earth. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, God said, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now listen to this. Now we're talking about imagination here, the people imagining a vain thing, an empty thing. And in Genesis chapter 6, just before God came to judge the world or to wipe out the world, to destroy the earth, he said this, and God saw that the Bible says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Everything, they couldn't, one wicked invention right after another. And verse 6 says, and God repented, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved him at his heart. Man's imagination run wild will lead us further and further away from the Lord. In Romans, in the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 1, beginning in verse 15, Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath, now listen to this. This is Romans chapter 1. Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They build a foundation, a broken foundation, off of what they say is righteousness, but it's not truth, it's unrighteousness. It's not a solid foundation. I remember the gentleman, I thought about the foundations, building your house on a solid foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about that when Novo Nordisk came over, and you remember that they did that kind thing about laying out that mezzanine, that concrete mezzanine, out on the back of our fellowship hall. I mean, it was beautiful to me. I walked out there and I saw it, and I thought, well, how wonderful, how marvelous! And yet the next day, I saw these people from the concrete company over there with sledgehammers breaking it up and towing it away. And the gentleman, I can't remember, Walter from Novo Nordisk, who was kind enough to lead the building of that or pouring that. I asked him. I said, Walter, are you taking off that? Have you decided to take the slab away from us? What did we do? What did we say? He says, no, Jim. He said, preacher, that was a terrible, terrible foundation. He said, it wouldn't have been, come the winter time, that foundation would have cracked and crumbled and just fallen apart. You'd have had nothing but cracks. He's poor foundation. He said, so I've got him out here pouring us a new foundation. And you know, that's exactly the way the world is today. The world is trying to build a foundation that eventually is going to crack and crumble and fall apart. Christ Jesus is the only foundation. If we're going to build our lives on any solid foundation at all, it's got to be Christ. And so Paul writes, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The moon wasn't there before. The sun wasn't there before. God, and Genesis tells us that God just spoke them into existence. They didn't exist before, but we can clearly see that they're in existence today. The very earth that we live upon was spoken into existence by God. He says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." Here these scientists are trying to get this information to the powers that be. Listen, it's not right to continue to pursue this old theory when we have solid evidence that proves that theory might very well be corrupt. In fact, not might very well be, but is corrupt. And yet they will not believe it. There's the truth there, but the powers that be will not accept it. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator." There are folks that are falling all over themselves trying to save the dolphins, trying to save the owl, trying to save all of these things, natural things, you know. If they don't step in and they don't get the upper hand here, and they don't get people falling in line and making rules and regulations and laying more burdens upon the people, then the owl is going to be non-existent. Then the dolphins are all going to die and all this other stuff. And these same people are the same people who will stand up and defend the woman's right to have an abortion. Now, you know, you can get into that. You can get deep into that. Now, I can tell you this. I believe that God is a life giver. And Satan can't produce life. But only God produces life. And whatever happens between a man and a woman, if life springs forth from that, then I believe that God produced that. So we have the child. The woman ought to have the child. People say, well, she's got a choice. She ought to have a choice. Well, she had a choice. She had a choice. Now we want to give her another choice. Well, you know, it's a choice to destroy life is not. I don't think that God. I don't read that in Scripture anywhere. It is. It would be a wonderful thing to bring forth that child and put it up for adoption or something of that nature. There's many Christian organizations available today that do that very. That are dedicated to that very thing, bringing the life forward so that that child might have a chance at life instead of just washing it away. But the same people who are so caught up in ecology are many times the same ones who have no problems with homosexuality, have no problems with abortion, they have no problems with any of the other immoral activities that this world's involved in. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause God gave them up." Look how many times it says that. In verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up." I would never... Gave them up. Gave them over to whatever it was that they were indulging in. God just gave them over to it. Gave them up. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness." Verse 24. Verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Let me read verse 27 again. "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was appropriate. You know, a person goes against nature. I mean, there's going to be recompense for that. You know, we have AIDS throughout the world today. And people don't want to lay AIDS at the foot of the immoral character. Today, AIDS is an epidemic. You know, it's like an epidemic that's spreading the world, and you can't point your finger at something. But let me tell you something. God says right here, if you get involved in this unnatural activity, you're going to pay for it. It's going to come back on you. And that's exactly what's happened today. Verse 28 in Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. There it is again. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. What does that remind somebody of? Covenant breakers. What is a covenant? What might that be? Somebody that files bankruptcy. You know, I believe bankruptcy is something that is there in case a person somehow falls on some difficult and hard times. I think it's good to have that. I think it's possible for a person to get not by their own doing, but because of circumstances and so forth, to have that come. But did you know that advertising today, I mean, when the lawyers back in the late 60s, early 70s, when the lawyers began to get the rights to advertise their wares on their profession on the television, bankruptcies began to explode. Even today, I hear that, and you've heard it too. The individual that comes on the air and he's talking about these new bankruptcy laws and how simple they are. And look, don't worry about them anymore because look, it's not those bankruptcy laws didn't do much of anything. And you know, you deserve to live a better life. You deserve to get on with your, don't do this, to, you know, just pay $99 a month. Well, I'll tell you this. The person who builds up a lot of debt and then runs and files bankruptcy is going to face God's judgment one of these days. Is going to face God's judgment one of these days. And that guy who's advertising, encouraging people to come and break that covenant. When I sign my name to a document that I agree to pay such and such, such and such, I intend to pay that. I've heard people come to me and say, well, you know, Jim, you can certainly easily, don't worry about getting in debt, you can easily file bankruptcy and get out of it. Well, I can tell you this, I might file bankruptcy and get out of it, but if I die the next day, I'll be facing the Lord Jesus Christ. As a greater judge than the one that signs off on my bankruptcy paperwork. And don't get me wrong. I mean, bankruptcy is there to lift the burden from folks. But when it becomes just a convenient way of getting out from paying your debts, well, that's covenant breaking. And that's what God's talking. And that's what God's talking about here at the end of the latter days. That's exactly what's going to happen. Without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection. Without natural affection, homosexuals and lesbians and all of that other stuff. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful. And look at verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, who knowing that the judgment of God is coming, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Think about that. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. God says that the evidence of his existence is clearly seen in this world. It's clearly seen. and that there's no way out. You will come face to face with the judge of all the world one of these days. Now, if you will, let's just turn back to Psalm 2. And here's the leadership of the world. Verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Verse 2, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's where we are today. That's where we are today. Isn't this the picture of the world today? God sees all and even sits in yonder heaven and laughs at the foolishness of men. Verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, Paul says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. You know what you reap? You're going to sow. What you reap, you're going to sow. Colossians 2, verse 8, Paul writes, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And then verse 5 of Psalm 2 says, then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. One of these days God is going to bring his great wrath upon this earth and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There is salvation. There is a way out. God has provided an open door for those that will to seek a way out. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Verse 12 says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in who? In him, in the Lord Jesus. In Luke chapter 19, verses 13 and 14, Christ is talking about a picture of him leaving the world and yet coming back one day. And when he leaves the world, he leaves behind his servants. And his servants, he gives talents. You and I are his servants. We have talents. You have talents. The pastor has talents. Every one of us that belongs to the Lord Jesus, we have a talent. God has left that to us. But he intends us to use those talents. Now listen to this. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. What does that mean? Well, it means that we ought to take whatever God's given us and use it for the glory of God. We ought to use it for the glory of God and not be afraid of persecution that might come down the road. We lose our job. We're afraid we're going to get fired because we stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. If you work for an employer, you ought to go, and you work and you're required to work 8 hours a day, you ought to work 8 hours a day and don't spend your time talking about biblical things. Unless, of course, you are in a break room and you are on your own time. When you go on your employer's time and you begin to preach and proselytize and all of that other stuff, I think God is against that. God doesn't want you doing that. You are to work for as the Bible calls him, your master, and give him a fair day's labor for a fair wage. Well, of course, you know, fair wage could be anything, but. But if you go to work and you begin to preach, that you're not bringing honor and glory to God. I tell you, the best way you can preach on your job is to do the very best job you can, because first you work for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you work for your master. That's right. And the way you work for your master will bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus. And so we are to take our talents and to use our talents, but use our talent at the proper time. The Holy Spirit ministers to us and guides us and brings us into those appropriate times when we can share the love of the Lord Jesus with others. But verse 14 says, now let me just read again verse 13. It says, "And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." So be working with your talent. Be sharing. Be doing whatever God has called you to do. Do it heartily. But verse 14 says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man to reign over us." You know what that says? If they hated Christ, they're going to hate you. These scientists say, you know, if we stand up, every time we stand up, every time we write a paper and we show them the truth as we see it, as we have clear evidence to see the contrary, they threaten to fire us. If we try to write a paper and have it published, we're rejected because we're talking about something that nobody wants to hear about. The citizens don't want to hear about that. The citizens don't want God. They're not going to have God reign over them. But you and I, as servants of God, we're not to worry about the citizens. They may hate God, they may hate us, but our job is to press on and live for the Lord Jesus Christ and not back down, not back away, not cower under. Amen? What is your talent tonight? How are you using that talent? I trust this week that God will give you an opportunity to share His love for you, your love for Him, and His love for others. I hope that this week God will use you in such a way that somebody else, because of your testimony, might come into the kingdom of God. Already, you know, we are sowing seeds. If you're a Christian and you're walking with the Lord Jesus in this world, you are sowing seeds. Some Christians are sowing seeds to the devil. Others are sowing seeds for the kingdom of God. Christians can sow seeds to the devil because of the way you carry the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. So this week, let's sow seeds to the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity to share in your word. And tonight, Father, we thank you for these that have come this way. Lord, we look forward to the week to come. We ask you, Lord, to give us that opportunity. Lord, we don't want to go before you. Lord, we don't want to go ahead of you. We just want to be patient, to listen to the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, Father. And at those times, give us that discerning spirit, Father, to know those times when you would want us to call somebody or to share with somebody or maybe just to listen to somebody. How wonderful it is, Father, to have somebody who's willing to sit down and listen to you. Not so much give you advice, not so much tell you what they think, Father, but just to be a lending ear, Father, just to hear the burden that might be on others' hearts. Lord, I thank you for Christians that are more so listeners than they really are talkers. And so, Father, tonight, Lord, give us an opportunity this week in whatever way to be of service to thee and to be of service to others. Father, bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.